give you listen to a Dharma talk. Cats sleep half awake, that's the best. But he didn't say that if you give a talk. In that way, that's the best. He didn't say that. You think you can hear me? I don't have to use it. To warm up a little bit. Do you have any questions regarding the practice of conscious breathing? Or bringing your mind, your awareness to your breath? Bhaktit and I were at the retreat for neuroscientists, Tom Village. If you cannot hear me, you raise your hand.
Bhaktit? Our son, who is 13 and a half. And we were at the retreat for neuroscientists at Plum Village. And in that retreat, I made many new friends. And one of them, he is a scientist from California. I met his wife. And his wife told me that after he heard of the re-election of President Bush, he broke down for many, many months. It's a bell of mindfulness for us all when we hear that story. We have been holding too many things in our heart. And at some point, we can no longer bear it. We can no longer take it. And we can break down. Just relax into your breathing as you sit there. We're like a camel. We carry so many things, heavy load on our back. And if one more thing is put on our back, we collapse. So we have to be very, very careful. The Buddha said that when we look at the camel with such a heavy load on her back, we see that as suffering. But he said, no, it's not true suffering. True suffering is ignorance. We don't know why we think this way. We don't know why we act this way. We don't know why we speak this way, but we keep doing it. We are living in the direction of forgetfulness and ignorance. And that is suffering. So the practice of mindfulness helps us to come to a stop. To stop going in the direction of forgetfulness, in the direction of misunderstanding, in the direction of suffering, of ignorance. So that is the first fruit of Buddhist meditation. Stopping. And how do we bring our mind to a stop, to a rest? How? Is there anyone here who experienced the joy, the fruit of stopping? Can you share? How do we bring our mind that is traveling so fast, speed of light? How do we bring that to a stop? Ed. We give our attention to our breath, to our breathing. Have we done that this weekend? Yes, we've been doing that since last night, right? Stop and we rest. Right? The guided meditation last night, the guided meditation this morning, aimed at helping us to settle down, to enjoy stopping, to rest. What comes to a rest? We should ask. The body can rest. That's why if you sit and you follow a guided meditation and you don't feel at rest at all, you should lie down. You should change your position. Please do not sit there and suffer for the whole 20 minutes. Every moment, every minute that we sit together is so precious. If it doesn't work, try to modify it or talk with your brothers and sisters about it and see if they can help you. And don't let the sitting meditation period pass by like a dream. Be fully alive. Enjoy deeply every moment of your sitting. The body comes to a rest, right? The body can rest. And we say the body is resting on the soft pillow of the breath. If you are a visual person, you'd like to use that image. What else comes to a rest? Your mind comes to a rest. And specifically, the content of your mind comes to a rest. Your pain comes to a rest. Our misunderstanding comes to a rest. Our sorrow, our fear, our mistrust all come to a rest. In us is resting. This is the very first fruit of Buddhist meditation. And then what happens once we can stop and rest? What do we experience inside of us? Space. Calm, stillness, you can name them. Please not to use the time we have this weekend here to read a lot of books. There are many good books in the library, but we can do that. I keep making this noise. We can do that at home this weekend. If you like, you can read maybe a short paragraph of some books that can help you bring your awareness to what's happening here and now. Use your time with a piece of paper, with a pencil, and write down for yourself how you feel when you are able to stop and rest with the Sangha, with the community. You name it. We are so good at pushing things down, ignoring things. So now we learn again to recognize what is happening inside of us. If there's a sense of space inside, we write down space. If there's a sense of calm inside, we write down calm. And you will be surprised when you write it down, it becomes so real and it grows so strong inside of you. In this space, thanks to the presence of this space in you, this stillness in you, and you hear the rain, you hear the birds, you smell the flowers. How do you feel? We're there. We hear the rain, we looked out the window, and we see the leaves changing their color. and we hear the sound of the water, how do we feel? Like some friends already expressed their feelings, shared their feelings this morning after the sitting. What do you experience? What kind of feeling is present in you? Once you're able to connect with these beautiful, wonderful things around you, thanks to the presence of the space and stillness, what feeling is arising in you? Judy?
Lightness.
Lightness?
Lightness.
What else?
Peace.
Peace?
Openness.
Openness?
Joy.
Joy, that's it. That's what I'm looking for. Joy. Because the pain can rest. The pain can rest. The feeling of joy can rise. And what makes this possible? Stopping, resting. So the practice of mindful breathing sounds very simple. Too simple to think that it can do anything. But when we put it into practice, the fruits of that practice are beyond measure. Beyond measure, beyond words. I can write down here the word joy, but the feeling of joy, I cannot put it down here. And the practice of the half smile is the practice of recognizing, holding, embracing that joy. And also allowing that joy to manifest. Once it manifests, it has a cradle, and that is the half smile. So sometimes my friends come to me and say, the present moment is unbearable. How can I live peacefully in the present moment? When you hear that, and if you put all your heart into this practice of stopping and resting, you can help that person. It's not the present moment that is unbearable, but it's the heart of that person. She can no longer hold what is there. There's no space in her heart. So this practice will help to create some space. With the joy in our heart, with the breathing, with the practice of half smiling, we create a cradle for the baby joy. Say baby because the feeling of joy is too new. It could be strange to us that we can have some doubt. Is it joy? And it can be very fragile. It can last for a second during your sitting, And you settle into that space of safety, of love. And then you hear the creak and you feel joy. But it lasts for only 1 or 2 seconds. And that's why we need to put all of our heart and intention into the practice of conscious breathing, relaxing into each breath so that we can continue to build a cradle around the baby of joy. So this morning you had 2 seconds of joy for the whole morning sitting. That is already a very good news. It tells us, it confirms us that no matter how much suffering there is in our heart, there is the seed of joy in the soil of our mind. The seed of pain is big, but it doesn't mean that the seed of joy is not there. It's there, but it's been sleeping. So what happened to you this morning was your seat of joy was woken up. And throughout the day, if we are determined to walk in a way that we can arrive with each step, if we are determined to eat in a way that we can open ourselves completely so we can be fed by Mother Universe, by the community. Then by the evening, when we come back here again for sitting meditation, the joy in us has become much, much bigger. This is an art. So the cradle for the baby of joy. Because there is space here, and thanks to the practice, joy can arise, right? It's like, because we have room, we can have more guests in the house. If we don't have room, we cannot have any guest. So because we have room, we have a guest named Joy. But we also can have the guest named Pain. The pain can rest, can settle down at the beginning, but once the space is there, the baby of pain can begin to cry again. What are we supposed to do when we sit, when we walk with our brothers and sisters? We feel so much joy and love and gratitude, and suddenly the baby of pain begins to cry. We help them rest. We help the baby rest again and again. Help her to come back to rest. Because if we don't do that, the baby of pain will cry even harder because there's more space now. As you listen, you can be in touch with the joy inside of you, and you may notice some cries rising from within, and you practice holding it, helping it rest with your mindful breathing right now. When you have a cradle, for your joy. When you have a cradle for your pain, for both, it will come to a point when you will have an insight, an understanding into the nature of your pain. In the past, many times we talked about cradling our pain, but we rarely talked about cradling our joy. And when we talk about one thing, we tend to be sucked into it. But if we talk about joy and pain, we'll see the interbeing nature of both. We cradle our joy and we cradle our pain. If we say we cradle, it sounds like we take action. But it's more like we allow the cradling to happen. We allow it to happen. If the energy of mindfulness is there, it happens automatically. We don't have to make it happen. And we like to do that. We like to make it happen. And because we like to make it happen, a lot of energy is lost in that habit. And inside, the ripening of this fruit cannot come. And if we practice Buddhist meditation and we don't come to an insight, we're starving. Inside is the milk that feeds us, that keeps us strong and healthy. We can practice mindfulness for 10 years or 20 years, and our Dharma body is still very pale. We can live in a survival mode for a long, long time if insight is not there. Insight is understanding. Understanding. Understanding the makeup of our pain, of our suffering. Breathing in, I smile to the seed of joy in me. Breathing out, I smile to the seed of pain in me. We smile to both, no discrimination. No preference. Mindfulness, the practice of mindfulness, will give rise to concentration. And with continued practice of mindfulness, concentration, it will give birth to insight. Many of us We just stay here. And we can get down to here, but we stop here. Or we can stop here. Because our mindfulness energy, we don't have a way to nurture it. That's why insight almost never comes. It's very sad if we practice mindfulness in this way. And you know, if not, you go, you complete the circle, that you become a Buddha. And all the work has been done. No. The circle keep going around and around and around and around. And every circle you've been through, you're lighter, you're happier. You can reach one hand out and be there for somebody. And it brings you such a great joy. Thanks to insight that you have, thanks to the understanding that you gain about yourself in the practice, that your mindfulness, your practice of mindfulness, carries less and less of a form. At the beginning, we have a lot of form in the practice. Bowing and then very, very meticulous, very much in detail. There may be a lot of rigidity there. But as we gain more insight into ourselves and into the people and the environment around us, the mindfulness is like a cloud, it's like the rain, it's like the grass. You can practice mindfulness wherever you are, and it's no longer called the practice of mindfulness. It's your breath. It's your smile. It's your presence. But what happens if my mindfulness is still weak? When I go to a community like this, I benefit from the collective energy of mindfulness of the whole community. And because it's no longer the individual energy of mindfulness that I am experiencing, it's the whole group. It's more powerful than I can get here. And if I am fully committed to the practice this whole weekend, I can come to an insight while I'm here this weekend. You see? And I have an insight while I'm here, maybe tonight or tomorrow. And then I sit down and I just enjoy my breathing. I don't have to wait for Lin or Anhung to say, relax into your breathing and so forth. And you have this push. If you're lucky, you have this push. And then you go home, you become a part of the Sangha. And that's your refuge. You make a commitment being with its Sangha because you know that the energy of mindfulness, of love in this Sangha is what is helping you to move like this. The Sangha provides fuel, the gas. We have the vehicle, but we don't have the gas. And more than gas, we need to have oil change. And in time of in the winter time, we need to have antifreeze and so forth. Until my husband will be very surprised when he hears me talk about this, because he takes care of all the cars at home. So it is in the Sangha that we are taken care of. This morning when we did walking meditation in this room, we practiced, I have arrived in one step and I am home in the other step. You remember? I have arrived, I am home. Some of my friends came to tell me that I have no idea what home is like. I practiced, I have arrived, I am home. But what is home? I feel calm, I feel calmer. I feel that I am slowing down. I can rest a little bit. But what is home? I am home is not an idea. I am home can begin as a wish. But with practice, it should be a reality, an experimentation. I don't know how to draw a mother. But maybe this is our mother. And we were here in her belly, in the womb of our mother. If we were lucky, our mother's womb was a safe place for us. It was a home, sweet home. And after we were born, life might have been very difficult for us. So we come to the Sangha. And in the Sangha, there's the practice of understanding and love. We feel safe there. And then when we are shared, the practice of stopping, resting, arriving home, we get it. Sooner or later. One day, 2 days, 3 days. 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. Suddenly we feel at home. But if the place that we stay in our mother's body, we never had that feeling of safety, the feeling of being home, then we come to the Sangha. I have arrived, I am home. We cannot feel. We just cannot feel at home. It's like when we sit in meditation this morning, we could have 1 or 2 seconds that we could feel the joy. We are in the Sangha, for 1 or 2 seconds we feel at home. And that's it. But we don't have a way to nurture that feeling. Because the place we came from, there was no true home. Then if that is the case for us, we cannot feel that we have arrived, we cannot feel that we are home, then we need to take incorporate this picture into our practice. And maybe our mother was in the womb of Grandma. And Grandma never felt safe, never felt at home. And if we have time, and if we have the space, then we can go back to the great-grandmother. And again, Grandma was there, and Grandma never felt safe, never felt at home. And as a meditator, we don't stop right here and say, I cannot feel at home. And just hold that feeling for ourselves. We should share that with our Sangha. The wonderful thing about being in the Sangha is that we can be who we are. At some point, you can whisper to your brother or your sister in the Sangha, my dear friend, I don't know why I've been in the Sangha for, I think, for many months now, but I don't really feel at home. I still have doubt. I don't quite trust the Sangha. Or if I trust this person, then I become to have big attachment to this person. It's not a healthy relationship. So we jump from not having able to feel at home into having attachment. But what we are looking for is to feel the joy of being home, the safety of being home. And because it did not happen, and no one's there to help us to see that clearly, to help us, so we jump from the place of homelessness, to attachment. And we think that attachment to someone, we identify that, we mistake that as being home. And if we look carefully, this is happening in many sanghas. Instead of taking refuge in the Sangha in order to touch the true home within, we take refuge in one person in the Sangha. And when we take refuge in one person in the Sangha, we see the other people not as our refuge. And we can go on and on in that endless cycle of separation, discrimination, and so forth, even though we call ourselves students of Tai Yi and we practice being home. So we are always invited by the Buddha, by the teachers, to make the journey. Journey back and just feel ourselves in the body of our mother, and just feel our mother in the body of our grandmother. If we can feel that, then when we come to the Sangha, and then the Sangha sister said, I have arrived, I am home. Compassion just burst out in our heart, and suddenly I have arrived. And it's not that I have arrived, but I, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, we all have arrived. Let us enjoy our breathing. with the sound of the rain, with our mother, with our grandmother, and with all the mothers before that. Breathing in, dear mom, I am sitting with my sangha, with my friends in the practice right now. Breathing out, mom, we are going home.